Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
Hey, and welcome to the Short Stuff. I'm Josh, and there's Chuck, and this is Short Stuff, and this is a good one. I'm excited about this one. Chuck, let's go. Go. Chuck, go.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about petticoat rulers, mm-hmm. and it might surprise people considering America today is ranked 81 out of 193 countries in women representation in government, that we actually had women who were mayors and city council people way back in the 1800s.
Yeah, there were two towns in particular, Oskaloosa, Kansas, and Kanab, Utah, that had elected all-female town councils in 1888 and 1912, respectively, which is pretty substantial. But then Jackson, Wyoming, home to the famous Jackson Hole, Wyoming, which I guess is a hamlet or a burg or some sort of affiliated town, but it's basically the same place, from what I understand. Oh, man, we're going to get some email from the Jackson people. they said, you know what, hold our beer or hold our sarsaparilla because we're going to one-up both of those towns. And in 1920, the year that women were granted suffrage by the Constitution or the Bill of Rights, I should say, that same year, Jackson, Wyoming, elected not only an all-woman town council, Chuck, but also a mayor, a woman mayor, for the first time ever. And that group, these petticoat rulers, as they came to be known, appointed women to the highest positions in the town, clerk, health, treasurer, and marshal. Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. And I was surprised to see that the first woman elected mayor in the United States was all the way back in 1887.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, it was in Agoria, Kansas. Her name was, this one was the one, I believe we covered her before in something, Susanna Salter, who was placed on the ballot as a sort of a prank by men in the town who didn't think that women should hold office. They put her on the ballot thinking that she would be humiliated and it would set women back politically. And she didn't know she was on the ballot. It was like a blind ballot until the day of the election. Uh-huh. And she won.
That's awesome.
And went on to be mayor. The other one's Oskaloosa, Mary D. Lohman. She was legitimately elected mayor and the first woman elected as mayor in Kansas with an all city council full of women. Nothing but ladies.
That's amazing. But the thing is yeah, like we think about it today and we're like, that's unheard of, you know, like literally unheard of. I hadn't heard about that before. But the state of Wyoming is actually known as the equality state. And one of the reasons why is because, you know, we associate 1920 as the year that women were granted the right to vote. That is a national thing. They had the right to vote back in 1869 in Wyoming. So it kind of like gives it a little more texture or context or both. To know that women already had the right to vote for more than 50 years before Mayor Miller and the all-female town council were elected in Jackson.
Yeah, and that's how Mary Lohman won in Oskaloosa, is they had, in Kansas, they had the right to vote in municipal elections. Mm-hmm. And they won by a 2-1 margin on the Oskaloosa improvement ticket.
Nice.
The one in Utah was interesting, too, and they both kind of had similar stories in that when they got in office, one of their big things was to kind of just clean up the town, collect back taxes. I think they had something like $200 in collected taxes just because people just refused to pay, and they went around personally to the houses, and I think they left office with $2,000 in the city coffers. And then Mary Woolley Chamberlain, mm-hmm. of Kanab, Utah, mm-hmm. She was mayor for 2 years and she had a female city council and she was enacted one of the first leash laws for dogs.
Oh, cool.
And then wanted to protect local business. So she enacted a, a daily tax on traveling salesmen coming through town, because she was like, you can't just come through town, steal a bunch of business, and then leave with your pockets full. So we're going to tax you guys per day just to kind of drive business to protect local business.
That's some smart government right there.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a break and we'll come back and talk about some more smart government that was instituted by women around the turn of the last century. Okay?
Let's do it.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
All right, so Chuck, you said Kanab's town council were elected by a 2-to-1 margin. I saw the same thing, too, for Jackson's petticoat rulers, which really kind of goes to underscore this. This was not like some fluke or a joke like the first female mayor in America, Salter. Is that what you said her name was?
Yeah, Susanna Salter.
She reminds me, that story reminds me of Elizabeth Blackwell getting into med school. Remember, it was supposed to be a prank and kind of blew up in the face.
Which that's probably what I was thinking of, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't remember talking about Susanna Salter before either. But the fact that they won, that the petticoat rulers and the Kanab, Utah town council won by like a 2-to-1 margin really shows that this was not like a joke or a fluke. I think one woman, one of the city council members, beat her husband in the election in Jackson in 1920.
Rose Crabtree.
Yeah. And, which that had to taste pretty, pretty sweet. And then the fact is that a lot of them were reelected when they came up for reelection. So, not only was it a good idea, they proved themselves as worthy for reelection too. And some of the things they did, like you said, they beefed up the town coffers. I saw they didn't institute a leash law in Jackson, but they did criminalize littering for the first time. They cleaned up the town square, meaning that they didn't allow cattle grazing there anymore. That was another thing they did. What else?
They graded the streets. They said, how about some street lights and street lamps? Let's expand electrical service. Let's get a cemetery going in this town because everyone's always shooting each other.
Right? Or they used to when the men ran the place. That was another thing I saw, too. I mean, you were talking about the back taxes not being collected and them getting like an additional $1,800 into the treasury. One of the things that I saw, I think it was in a Jackson Hole newspaper. The reason for that was that this town had been run like really insouciantly by men up to that point. And that there was like this kind of pioneer spirit where everyone was expected to take care of their neighbor and everyone did and stepped up when help was needed. But it wasn't like a organized structural civic pride, and that's what the petticoat rulers came in and instituted. They basically said, hey, you know, that the whole take care of your neighbor thing, well, there's actually a lot of things we could be doing you know, through government, and let's start doing that. And that actually kind of took off.
Yeah, and Grace Miller, the mayor of, I think she was Jackson, right?
Yeah.
She said in an interview, "We simply tried to work together. We put into practice the same thrifty principles we exercise in our own homes. We wanted a clean, well-kept, progressive town in which to raise our families. What is good government but a breathing space for good citizenship?"
Nice.
And it sort of reminds me of that quote. I don't know the exact quote, but it's sort of like, if you want the job done on time and right, like hire a working mom or something like that.
I think you're talking about something to do with like lipstick and pit bulls.
No.
No? Is that a different one?
I think so.
Okay. The one you're talking about makes a tremendous amount of sense, though. So the Petticoat rulers came in, and from what I understand, there's a town historian, Morgan Albertson. I'm going to take a stab at this last name. Jowen? What do you think?
Sure.
Jowen. It's a beautiful,
maybe it's just
beautiful name.
Clean.
Right. Either way, it looks very, very nice spelled out. We're just going to call this person the historian, basically said that the Petticoat ruler shaped Jackson and Jackson Hole into the town that they know and love today, and that it may have just kind of become a town that ended up deserted and misused and mistreated and misgoverned and lost to history. The historian's willing to go so far as to say that. Either way, the rulers definitely deserve credit for shaping the place. But the weird thing is, Chuck, is like, despite how successful the all-female town council and mayor and appointed positions was for Jackson, it's like the town was like, okay, well, we tried that. Let's wait another 80 or so years before we do it again.
Yeah, we tried that and it worked out really great. Mm-hmm. So let's just wait till the 1980s.
Yeah, 1980s was the first time that women city council people were elected again. And it wasn't until 2001 when they had another woman mayor. Jean Jackson was elected in 2001. So it went from Mayor Miller, Grace Miller, in 1920 to Jean Jackson in 2001. That was quite a drought.
Yeah.
You got anything else?
I got nothing else. We salute them.
I do too, but I have one last thing. The women were all members originally of what was called the Pure Foods Club, which was a social group that met a couple of times a month. And that's where the idea to run was hatched and nurtured. And that group is still around today, but they call themselves the Birthday Club. But isn't that adorable? This group's been around since the early 1900s, and they still meet twice a month. And now men are allowed.
I love the Birthday Club. I want to be in that group.
They'll let you in. You're a man and likable. So I think those are the two qualifications.
And I have birthdays.
You do. You have a birthday. Well, yeah, hats off to the Petticoat rulers and all of the women who helped shape the United States then and now. I guess that means Short Stuff is out.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.